and welcome back to the National Radio Club's DX Audio Service for September 1990. Hello, I'm Fred Vobey. I'd like to make a quick reminder and inform some of our membership about a problem we had on the action line recently. A bad thunderstorm moved through the area on the 20th of August, and I guess what happened was is lightning hit the phone lines. It did knock out the equipment which we use to record your calls, but it did screw up the phone line. What happens when you dial the action line? It rings briefly, then it sounds like somebody picks it up, but nothing's there. On our end, it's completely dead. Anyways, we found out about it through the courtesy of a member who contacted us, and the problem is being resolved by the phone company. I forgot about one person who makes it all possible at the National Radio Club and the DX Audio Service to bring you the DX. Wayne Heinen's with us with a look at what's happening with the CPC. Wayne?
Hi, this is Wayne Heinen from the National Radio Club Courtesy Program Committee. We have our first test scheduled for those in the DX Audio Service. It will be on September 16th, which is a Sunday morning, beginning at 3 a.m. local time Eastern. The station is WQBQ, and they are in Leesburg, Florida. The address, 10401-328, Highway 441, Leesburg, Florida, 34788. The test will consist of tones and code IDs and other interesting things. It's going to be thrown in by General Manager Donald Conley. And you can direct your reports to Donald Conley at the address I gave you. So here we go. We're going to kick off the season. Our first one is the return match of WQBQ, who tested last year. I wish you all luck in receiving them. Once again, the date is Sunday, September 16th. Good DX and 73 from the National Radio Club CPC.
Well, it's time for someone who's got all that broadcast savvy. A good-looking man at that. John, sit down. It's time for Phil Wayne. Hi, Phil.
Hi, radio buffs. Phil Wayne here from MarketScope, the audio column that takes a monthly look at radio happenings and radio markets. This month, we'll hear KLZ Radio drop its country format for satellite music network Z-Rock. And join Don Wilkerson in the Bay Area for a quick listen to San Jose's AMs.
The Dad's on 56 KLZ telling you what to give. Colorado country music, and we're in the final hour of the country chapter. I'm Barbara, and it's my privilege, I guess, to get to be the dubious distinction of being the last one to play country music here on KLZ. And then at midnight, we do the big switcheroo, and my 14-year-old will be in Fool's Paradise. Wait till she finds out the money stopped. Okay. Got some great tunes on the way. I'm not quite sure what they are, but they're a really special variety of tunes. Some of the things that maybe we wanted to play and didn't get to here on KLZ, but definitely with the country flavor.
Put your savings in the wrong place.
Cappuccino and heard the bells of the campanile. Or maybe the telephone.
This is America's great country radio station, 56 KLZ. And now, more great country music with Barbara on 56 KLZ. music in Denver, 56 KLZ.
56 KLZ from Eddie Raven to Merle Haggard. And it's a great song, Rainbow Sugar. KLZ, that's music from Merle Haggard. And, of course, I'm Barbara. This is it. This is the last time I'm going to talk to you on 56 KLZ for a while. And except the things keep making the circle. They just keep making the circle, and I'm sure we're going to meet again. It was really a big part of my life to be able to interface and touch your life in whatever way that I did. Big chunk of my life, 15 years that I've been with you. And I'll just say goodbye for now. And I'm sure we're gonna run into her again on the radio. I'll be living on the air somewhere. Here's the first one ever played.
Kind of laid back, ain't much an old country boy like me can't hack.
Thank you from all of us at Colorado Country 56 KLZ for all your support for the last 12 and a half years. For all of its country program directors, Ron Jones, R.T. Simpson, Bill Bradley, Chuck Browning, and Steve / Gramsci, we wish you good health and happiness in the future. This is Bill Strzok, Vice President and General Manager of KLZ, with just one more country favorite for all of our great country fans throughout Colorado and the United States. Thank you very much for listening, and God bless you.
If tomorrow all the things were gone, I'd work for all my life.
'Cause there ain't no doubt I love this land. God bless the USA.
And this month we are going to give you the radio stations from the San Jose, California radio market. And we start with the AM stations. And the very first one is on 1170 and it's KLOK. This station used to be Adult Contemporary. In fact, they were one of the originators of the yes-no type format, where supposedly you pick the hits. You used to call in and tell them what you'd want to hear, and then they would play it. Well, finally, KLOK was sold, and now they are Spanish. So here they are, KLOK, 50,000 watts day, 5,000 watts night on 1170.
Amigos, solamente faltan 25 minutos para que lleguemos a las 2 de la tarde, 25 minutos a las 12 en su estación KLOK Radio. Y los queremos saludar con mucho gusto a Gabriela Fernández y a Felipe Huerta, que hoy contraen nupcias. Felicidades, hombre, muchos días después, ¿no? Ahí sí no cabe esto, ¿eh?
Next is another Spanish station at 1290, which is located in Gilroy, California, which is approximately 30 miles south of San Jose. KASA. This station is 5,000 watts daytime, and they have been authorized a nighttime license, but I don't believe they have taken advantage of that yet. But they are right now 5,000 watts day.
La estación de los super éxitos.
En la estación de los super éxitos, escuche los éxitos de los 70. Disfrute de los éxitos de los 70. De los éxitos de los 80. Despiértense de 6 a 7 con dos gallos y dos palomas en Palenque. Y baile con los éxitos de la cumbia. Su mejor diversión con lo más reciente en super éxitos.
The next station we'll give you is KEEN in San Jose on 1370, and they are 5,000 watts full-time. And again, they're your typical country and western station. I'm sure you'll come to that realization after you hear them.
KEEN, San Jose, playing all your country favorites from the 60s through the 80s in stereo. Alabama and the Keene Country and Take Me Down. Kind of like the old Janis Joplin tune. It was a phrase a little different, but I think they meant the same thing. Oh, speaking of Alabama, Little Miss Flowers called. Nancy said Auburn and her team won today over Georgia 20-3. And she said they beat him even better than the score sounded. She was elated. Before Alabama, we heard from Kathy Mattea, Going Gone, and Vince Gill's new one called Never Alone. My good buddy All Dog called from Five Star today, wanted to hear a little Dan Seals music. This one is called B.O.P. on KEEN.
We'll go on to the next station now, and it's at 1430 on the dial with, they have a weird pattern. They have 1,000 day and 2,500 watts night. And they are a Spanish station, KNTA, in Santa Clara, California. And this is kind of what they sound like.
Sí, lindo yo, hombre. ¿Qué andabas haciendo por allá? Para el lado de Los Ángeles. Nada de eso. Y bien, para allá son los Rayantes del Valle. Allá por aquel lado, eso. Sí. La última vez que los vimos fue aquí en el centro de la ciudad. Aquí está la leyenda tejana. Aquí está la música sensacional de Little John. Hoy música de los Rayantes del Valle. En el programa del centro. En el programa de plata.
Ay, mis ojos me fascinan.
Y adorar y respetar a sus padres.
Aquí está el compadre Fito. El mero norte. Este Fito. Compadre de Fito. El que tenía el capotito. Y andaba por allá con Clodomiro en Ñagua, Nicaragua, tirando de grito. Allá por la Choricera, allá por donde está el lago de Agua Dulce, ahí se la llevaban, paseando una lata de cerveza.
The next station we're going to give you is KSJX, Business Radio 1500. They have 50,000 watts day and 10,000 watts night.
Keep in touch with the latest news from the world of arts, medicine, health, and science with the Business Radio Network here on KSJX, Business Radio 1500.
It's easy to participate on Omniverse. Just call 1-800-321-2468. Once again, here's your host, Pete Wehner.
With a final precious few minutes with David Horowitz, let's look into the 1990s. It's the fashionable thing to do as we put the wraps on this decade, David.
Opinions expressed are not necessarily those of the Business Radio Network, its advertisers, or sponsors.
keeping you up to date on the worlds of business and finance. This is the South Bay's only business radio, 1500 KSJX, San Jose.
Via satellite, I'm Jack Lott with news on the Business Radio Network.
Here's more of the swinging years now on KLIV.
Chuck Cecil with a pair now, a double play for the big band of Larry Clinton. The A and B sides of a 78 RPM Victor record made in January of 39.
And there you have San Jose's AM stations. On the next Market Scope, we'll give you San Jose's FM stations. Reporting for the DX Audio Service, this is Don Wilkerson.
That's Market Scope for another month. A sincere tip of the Market Scope hat goes to Bill Koppelman, Mark Marino, and Big Don Wilkerson for all their assistance this month. We'll see you in Pittsburgh. This is Phil Wayne.
It's time now for the Musings from Members column, and the opinions expressed in the column are those of the individual members and do not necessarily reflect those of the editors or the National Radio Club.
Hello, this is Greg, Jack, and Olympia again. I was just wondering, whatever happened to Radio Earth? I guess they're still around in some form or other. The last I heard them, they were on the air about once a week, and I guess they still are, but how can you get them here in North America?
Hi there, everybody. This is Chris Swank in Fairfield, California, and KOFY in San Francisco or thereabouts is doing an interesting thing. They're in transition to a new format. Okay, now they used to be locally originated oldies, and I'm listening to this right now in my right ear. What they're doing in transition to their new format is for a couple of weeks. I don't know when this started. It's been doing this for a couple of days, but for a couple of weeks they're running the audio to channel 20 KOFY television, which is also owned by James Gabbert, and I hear in 2 weeks they're going to go to the satellite and run the Cool Gold format. It's an interesting thing they're doing in transition to the new format. I'll bring the phone over here and have you listen to a little bit here.
Call us at this toll-free number, 1-800-292-2277. But hurry, because our trucks might disappear even quicker than the Corvette.
KOFY, Stereo TV 20, San Francisco.
And there's an ID from the TV station. Hope that picked up well. anyhow, this is what's happening right now. So in some time now, and today is August the 4th, Saturday, it's going to switch to Cool Gold. And that's all for now.
Hello to all NRCers. This is Rick Dow from Oakland, Iowa. Except today I'm not calling you from Oakland, Iowa. I'm calling you from the land of 10,000 lakes. I'm on the road here in Fergus Falls, Minnesota. It is Monday morning, August 6th, 1990. Been doing a little bit of DXing here on the road. Had a 4-day vacation. Heard the sign on this morning of KJAM, Madison, South Dakota. A station that's a good distance away from here. I was in Fargo on Saturday night and did some recording from there. Got some ideas from North Dakota, South Dakota, and Minnesota. Had a station tour Saturday afternoon of KFNW 1200. A nice operation. I was shown around by weekend DJ Dennis Swanson. Tim Hendel out in San Diego, to answer your question about KOOL, they are indeed the flagship station of the Cool Gold Network. That's a station that is a nighttime regular for me at home after semi-local KMA in Shenandoah signs off at midnight. I'm going to be on the road again today. I'm going to be in Sioux Falls, South Dakota tonight. Well, tomorrow morning I will be touring KXRB 1000 and swinging over to Worthington, Minnesota to tour KWOA 730. See you later.
Casting from the FM facility KDBK in San Francisco where KOFY was, that meant that KOFY had to move to another facility. So they are moving to TV 20, KOFY AM. While they are making preparations to move, they are simulcasting TV 20. on the AM. And that's what it sounds like, a little bit of a portion of Coffee Stereo TV 20 on the AM. This is a very interesting oddity, and I noticed it last night about 2 when they were writing some special about some dating things, but I wondered what was going on, but I never really stuck with it because I was interested in keeping up with the former Sick Mix 99 FM. They were pulling a spoof and they were calling it K-Large, going from If You've Got the Money, Honey, I've Got the Time by Willie Nelson to Stairway to Heaven by Led Zeppelin, let's see, you know. So that's basically what's happening, and so Coffee Stereo TV 20 and Coffee AM are simulcasting now on, I guess, would be a temporary basis. I assume in about a day or two this will be all over, but this is a first. I've never seen a station where, a situation where a TV station and a radio station have been simulcasting for any good length of time, and we do have the girl called on the audio service this month. Coffee Stereo TV 20 and Coffee AM do simulcast the 10 o'clock news every night, Monday through Friday. So we do have that in the Bay Area. So happy DX, and I'll see you later.
This is Tim Hendel in Miami, and I'd like to comment on the question raised by Camille Petreca. AM stations broadcasting television news. We had a station here in Miami, WNWS, at 790, which was broadcasting the television news at 6 p.m. of one of the local TV stations for a while, and they stopped doing that about 6 months ago, I would say. As I traveled around, I know that I have heard several stations throughout the country doing this, and it seems to have been more of a trend a couple of years ago, and now I think stations are getting away from it. I don't know whether they found that listeners didn't like it or that the TV stations were charging them too much. In fact, a few years ago, CNN actually tried to start a radio news network which would carry the CNN news from television, but I don't know what happened to that. So yes, every once in a while you will find this. And on another subject, did anybody notice how many religious stations there were at 640 on the dial? Interesting, Nat.
Well, hello, DX Audio Service members. This is Marty Rimpaugh here with some sad news. As of 2 p.m. yesterday afternoon, James Gabbert fired all his on-air Coffee 1050 AM jocks and started simulcasting TV 20, as I alluded to in another message. In about 2 weeks, they will become cool gold. They will be satellited. Apparently, for whatever reason, James Gabbert had it with morale problems and whatnot. And I just found this out from DJ J. Arnold up in Napa. Sad news from 1050 land.
Hello, Fred. This is Tim Hendel in Miami. And I just want to congratulate you on your interview with Steve Bauer in Dialogue. I enjoyed the interview a lot, and I do hope it brings maybe a few new subscribers to the DX Audio Service.
Hello, Fred. This is Pat Cassidy calling from Newcastle, Delaware. It's 3 p.m. on August 15th. Evidently, a big shakeup in Philadelphia radio has just happened. WCAU AM is no longer alive. It has been retired, evidently. They have become WOGL, Oldies 1210 AM, as of 2 o'clock today. They've dropped their CBS affiliate, evidently. I think they're going to keep the Philadelphia Phillies contract, but the talk format on 1210 is gone. It's now WOGL AM 1210. They call themselves 1210 Oldies. One more thing, Fred. I'd like to know, again, if any of your listeners from Baltimore have ever had the frequencies of 1230 or 1400. Heard them open during the day if WITH or WWIN were off the air. And if they were, I'd like to know what was heard on those frequencies. If anyone could leave it on the action line, I'd sure be curious to know. Hope to see you in Pittsburgh, Fred. Have a good one. Bye-bye.
Hi, Fred, and other audio service subscribers. This is Doug Hunsinger in Silver Spring, Maryland, calling you on the 15th of August. After listening to a Philadelphia Phillies baseball game and hearing frequent IDs, I'm still in shock. 1210 AM is now WOGL Philadelphia. And when they're not doing sports, I guess they'll be simulcasting with their FM, which is what they're doing now. Hoping to get an ID, but anyway, you get the picture. 1210 has changed. I don't believe it.
Hi, DX Audio Service. This is Marcy Scott calling from Vero Beach, Florida. Two brief points. One, on the travelogue for the... Oh, by the way, today is August 16th, and it's just about 8 p.m. As I listen to the August DX Audio Service on the travelogue, they mentioned that the WLVJ at 640 in Royal Palm Beach was being interrupted by the station from Wildwood, Leesburg. I wonder if maybe it wasn't the station from Cuba that, as I heard it, I heard the station from Cuba that comes in at this point, whereas we don't get anything near Leesburg. We barely get anything in Orlando. My second point is we've got a station here at 1350, which says it's Light Rock 99.3 FM WLRQ, but never gives its AM frequency or any type of AM ID. Wondered if anybody else has any other stations where they live or have been, which are like that. It's a great magazine. Sorry for all the ums, and keep up the good work. Thanks a lot. Bye.
This is Don Lee calling from Palm Bay with a suggestion for John Balker's travelogue. I was wondering if after the station IDs for a particular frequency are played, perhaps John Balker could come back on and read the other stations that he doesn't have recordings of. It would be interesting to know what other stations are on a particular frequency. That way folks could be on a lookout, and if they happen to be in a particular area, they could send in IDs for stations that John doesn't already have IDs for. I'm curious to know how much power WGTO AM 540 in Pine Hills, used to be Cypress Gardens, Florida, is running at night. In January, I think they must have moved their tower whenever they changed their city of license, and since that time they've been putting in a much better signal into the Melbourne-Palm Bay area at night. That's about 60 or 70 miles away. In fact, they come in much just as well as at night as they do during the day. So I almost wonder if they are a directional 50,000-watt station at night. I noticed an odd thing about 740 in Orlando, WWNZ. They come in lower during the day than they do at night. We're about 60 miles away. I almost wonder if they're putting their daytime power out at night and their nighttime pattern out during the day. Keep up the good work. I really enjoy the DX Audio Service.
Hello, Fred. This is Victor Schmidt. I am a new member of the National Radio Club DX Audio Service. There has been a major station call letter change as well as format. WCAU in Philadelphia is now WOGL, and their format is solid gold music from the 1950s and 1960s. They also simulcast with WOGL-FM after midnight.
Yes, this is Mark Marino reporting from Flossmoor, Illinois. I was very surprised to hear that WCAU AM is broadcasting WOLG FM. I also heard someone call in about it on Larry King, so I don't know what happened, and someone else may have already called up with a report, but I would sure be interested in the details of what brought that about, and are they still CBS owned, or is this a trend for the other CBS stations, or what? Be interested in hearing about it. And has anybody heard any more about XEKAM 950, which has been off the air since early May or late April? I forget. I've heard nothing about them. Bye for now.
Hey there, Fred. This is Chris Swank, Fairfield, California. Just a couple of things. First of all, I did get one tape to help me start my air check collection from Carl Davelstein, I think his name is, out of Kansas. Yeah, and on there, my favorite air check out of the whole bunch, at least as far as I've heard, I'm starting on side two now, is a scoped air check of KCBQ San Diego that goes through several different periods of their broadcasting there from, I think, probably the 60s through about 1971 up to about 75 and a bit from the latter 70s.
and it's really cool. Also, you might want to pass this along to Phil Wayne. Is it maybe on Market Scope, if you want to do something on one station, or see if you can ask one of the Bay Area-located audio service members to tape this. I can kind of get this station, but it's really, really noisy, and I have to have my radio in the right place. But we should do a Market Scope featuring Alex Bennett, because Alex Bennett on Live 105 KITS has a very, very unique radio show. In fact, it might do good to put some of it on the April Fool's edition, or maybe not. But Alex Bennett is really quite a unique radio show. It's mostly talk, and it's a music station, but it's mostly talk. He has a live studio audience, and he has comics come down. Two or three comedians come down, and the comedians just kind of improvise and do different things. Not perform an act, but just in the manner of talking to Alex and just talking to the audience members and the callers and things like that. They just do their thing, and it's really very informal and really, really cool. I enjoyed listening to it, and he's able to do his thing. He's kind of outspoken on some things, but he doesn't do it to shock. Alex is just Alex on the radio. I don't think he puts up an act to try to shock, but he has gotten some flack from some of the for things that he said and for some of the things that the comedians have said, you know. So anyhow, you should have somebody, if you don't have any air checks of it already, have somebody send in some Alex Bennett. And I would, but I'm not really quite in the area. So think about that. And I think my 90 seconds is nearly up, so I'm going to go. I'll talk to you later, Fred. Bye.
This is Michael Friddle from Brooklyn, New York. It's August 17th, 1990. And, well, folks, it seems another venerable powerhouse on the East Coast seems to have bit the dust. WCAU, as of Wednesday morning, August 15th, has changed to WOGL FM 98. They're simulcasting with their oldie station on FM. And it seems to be written up in CNN and in the New York Times, things like that. I've been hearing stories lately. I don't know. My personal opinion to that is it's a shame that another AM station has, you know, become a vast wasteland, if you will, because you got AM and FM simulcasting. And I just wonder, God forbid, how far WCBS in New York can be behind where they would do WCBS FM 101 in New York. But that's left to be judged later on in the future. At any rate, everybody have a good day.
Hello to all members of the NRC. This is Rick Dow calling again from a farm near Oakland, Iowa. Today is Friday, August 17th, and here is part two of my recent trip to the Northlands of America. Saturday, August 4th, I was in Fargo, North Dakota, had a very nice visit with weekend DJ Dennis Swanson at KFNW, 1200 AM. Very nice tour there. Sunday, I stopped off in Fergus Falls, Minnesota, and before leaving there, on Monday, August 6th, I had a tour of KBRF 1250. I was shown around by operations manager Barbara Van Groot. 100 miles down the road, it was a stop at KZMA 1460, where I had a nice chat with program director Dwight Mulder and news director Mike Dupree. I also visited NRC member Bill Moser on that Monday. And on Tuesday, the 7th, I visited KXRB AM 1000 in Sioux Falls and KWOA 730 in Worthington, Minnesota. Well, I'm about out of time, so that's going to wrap it up for my music here. I will see you all in Pittsburgh, 73, and so long from the farm.
Yes, hello, DX Audio Service members. This is Dana Yeomans calling from Griffin, Georgia, here tonight. And don't have anything ready to report. I did enjoy the this past month's computer bulletin board and feature. That was interesting. I'd like to share a story with some of you people that might be interested. I went to a ham fest here back in March, end of March, 1st of April, and was looking around, and a friend of mine said, well, Dana, here's a Braylon speak. And I picked it up and looked at it. I know I'm sure that all of you people that listen to the magazine are familiar with a Braylon speak. And I picked it up and looked at it, and the guy said, well, I want $20 for it. And I said, what, $20? So walked around there a minute, and I said, well, that can't hurt to buy that for $20, you know. I know what these things cost, so I bought it for $20, brought it home, put new NiCads in it, and it works fine. And I'm sure y'all are familiar with that that particular item, but for $20 for a Braylon speak, I think that's pretty good. Enjoy the magazine, folks, and just thought I'd put that on. He's talking about the computer bulletin boards. I've accessed more computer bulletin boards with that thing, and just had a ball with it. And it's got an RS-232 port. It's about the size of a VCR tape, you people that are not familiar with it. And I got it on amateur packet right now. You can probably hear it in the background, maybe, I don't know. But I'm using it on amateur radio, and it works real well on packet. Just plug it right into the, come out of your serial port to RS-232 and into your computer or into your RS-232 interface and into your computer, or into your TNC. Something distracted me there. But just plug it right into your TNC and it works. So 73, everybody. Have a nice July or August. It is now. Not even thinking. It's August the 18th. So y'all have a nice one and hope you have a good time at the convention. Wish I was going to be there. 73 and best of DX.
This is Tom Likens calling for the DX Audio Service from Louisa, Kentucky. And I'm interested if anyone has any information about a radio station which has gone silent, and I don't know when they went silent, WCHI in Chillicothe, that was owned and operated by the Courthouse Broadcasting Company. It also owned the WCHO in Washington Courthouse. And if anyone has any information when they went silent and the particulars, let me know. They can contact me at 419 North Lock Avenue, Louisa, Kentucky, 41230, or call me at 606-638-4735, or send me a tape, whether it be open reel, cassette, or a transcription disc, whatever means they have, or braille, it doesn't matter. But I'm interested in the demise of the former WCHI. I understand that that frequency, 1350, is now silent in Chillicothe and maybe has been for some time.
And as you can hear, Tom's was the last call that came in on the action line there before the phone line just completely went out. Anyways, if you have something on your mind, something to say, a comment or two, give us a call on the action line, 419-224-3916, 24 hours a day.
Historical moments in radio, retracing some of the steps in the development of modern radio broadcasting. Hello again, I'm John Bowker, and in this edition, we'll be looking back at events occurring during the months of September that helped shape this exciting industry. Perhaps the one event occurring in September that has left the greatest footprint on the entertainment world happened in September of 1942, when the American Federation of Musicians, James C. Petrillo, president, made the recording ban complete. Now, you see, all popular music was played by the big bands. They were the rage on the college campuses and in the enormous music halls in just about every major city, and on the radio, too. But for some time, the record companies had been forbidden to cut any new big band records. So, in effect, the musicians were on strike against the record companies. All the big band swing music on the air was being performed live, or, in deference to the war effort at the time, on large 16-inch diameter electrical transcriptions. The armed forces radio stations around the world counted on those transcriptions for their major source of programming. But then on September 7th, 1942, even the transcriptions were put out of bounds for the bands. In their place came an interesting new concept in music. Now, since only the band players were on strike, the band vocalists were free to cut records and transcriptions, and so they did. Singing groups were formed, most often with a lead singer, and sometimes the singers could find a piano player or a saxophonist who didn't belong to the union to accompany them. The names of Frank Sinatra, Rosemary Clooney, Mel Torme, Peggy Lee were only a few of the many, many singers who came to the front during the next 3 years. And in the end, when the strike was called off years later and the war ended, the big bands had lost all their composers and arrangers. And with the breakup of the Harry James, Tommy Dorsey, and several other bands all within a week of each other, the big band era just about died the week before Christmas 1947, due in largest measure to the drought of new big band music available in the record stores. And once again, radio had proven its omnipotent power in the entertainment field. Now, it was also during the month of September 1950 that the Shenley International Company bought time on Alaskan and Hawaiian radio stations for its whiskey products. Some of you younger listeners may have forgotten that Alaska and Hawaii were not states of the United States in those days, but they were territories, and needless to say, it was not too long after that that the legislation came to be that put an end to such commercials, even for our protectorates on the electronic mass media, at least. The long-standing debate over the sale of WHAS in Louisville was finally resolved on September 26, 1949, when the FCC ruled that Mr. Crosley could not buy WHAS due to its significant signal overlap with the Crosley station in Cincinnati, WLW. There was increasing concern about the centralization of thought control, what with the growing influence of the news networks and their seeming distrust of government officials. And you know, it was just 40 years ago this month that the Gillette Safety Razor Company paid $800,000 to Major League Baseball for all the TV rights to the World Series. 1950. That amount seems laughable to us in today's market, of course. And on September 30th, 1946, a nationwide tally showed that the number of radio broadcasting stations on the air had finally passed the 1,000 mark. It was noted that a handful of them, though, were on the very high frequency band, trying out this new concept called frequency modulation. But that even if one only counted the real commercial stations, that is, the AM stations, the number still exceeded 1,000. The city of Boston proudly christened its new offering to the world on September 19, 1921, with the sign-on of WBZ. And half a country away, the Show Me State was tuning in for the first time to KXOK in 1938 during the month of September. Not to be outdone, residents of Mercer County, New Jersey were finally able to learn why the traffic was always stopped on Route 1 ahead of them during commuting hours when WHWH in Princeton signed on in 1963. Who cares? I care. They employed me from 1974 to 1979, and it was a great place to work. This is John Bowker for Historical Moments in Radio.
And with a little bit of luck, we'll have our telephone line fixed next month and also be off to the National Radio Club Convention. That's it for the September edition. We'll see you in 30 days.